Right now, the closest watched political race in America, clearly the race for Virginia governor. Terry McAuliffe was supposed to win that with a slam dunk. Not happening that way. Right now, Glenn Youngkin of the latest Trafalgar poll has Youngkin up by 0.9 within the margin of error, but still noteworthy of how unpopular Joe Biden is. Now, if you go back a few months to before the election of 2020, you'd know that Gretchen Whitmer was on the short list to be Joe Biden's pick as his running mate. That didn't happen, of course, and she seemed to be pretty popular with Democrats at the time, but right now her numbers not in good shape. A lot of folks lining up to take her on, including Tudor Dixon, my next guest here, conservative commentator and a mother of four. And her big topic right now is education. Tudor, good to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
So you've got a plan for education that's gotten people's attention through your own experiences. You're applying not as only as a mother, but people you've met along the way and say, hey, we can do this better. Tell us why your plan is probably not only just good for Michigan, but maybe for everybody around the country.
Well, this is a plan where dollars are following the child, and we thought it was really important to do something in Michigan. We're in a situation where Michigan is not growing as a state. We need to bring businesses here. We need to increase our workforce, but that starts with educating our children. And if you look at where we stand right now with reading proficiency, we're very low. We're very low across the country, in fact. And some people would say, well, this is just some of our urban areas, because Detroit does have an 11.9% reading proficiency rate. In Kalamazoo, we're in the 20s. In Flint, we're at 10%. But even if you go to Oakland and Jenison, you're at 58% and 59%. So these are all failing grades, Steve. And there's nobody that understands failing grades better than the education system.
Sure.
Now, I look at my manufacturing experience and I say, if I had a manufacturing line that was only creating 11.9% good product, I couldn't keep running it, could I?
No, that would not be sustainable, as they say. It'd be an unsustainable model. When you put out the idea, of course, of the money follows the child, the unions go crazy. Many on the left go crazy. Say, well, you can't do that. It's the separation of church and state. You can't send private dollars. Fact of the matter is, parents pay their tax dollars to educate their children. So how do you tell these folks, wait a second, it's a chance to get kids out of failing schools into successful paths towards a future that's worth having, right?
Absolutely. And you don't know necessarily why a certain school is failing a child, but the parent understands in a different way. For example, for me, my child went from elementary school where she had a small class of 25 kids to her middle school where she was with her entire graduating class and she felt lost. She came to us around December and she said, I'm not doing well. I don't know how to catch up and I don't know how to make friends here. This isn't a situation that I thought I would be in where I would need to choose a different school for my child, because people assume, well, if your school is in a situation where they do have a higher reading proficiency rate, then your school is successful. But my school wasn't successful for my daughter. So she came to me and she said, I really want to go to a smaller school, Mom. We didn't think we could do that because we weren't in the financial situation to do it. We had relatives come to us and say, we'll help you out to make sure that she gets the education she needs. She moved schools and she came to us within 3 months of being at the new school and she said, Mom, not only have I made a lot of friends, but now I raise my hand in class, which is something I would have never done before. That's an amazing feeling as a mom. And for me, I knew that's what we needed to do. But every year, it's a financial crunch for us because we have to ask relatives to help us out to get her educated. Now, think about the people across Michigan who don't even have the opportunity to ask relatives. There's so many areas where kids could be thriving in a different type of school.
Sure.
And they're not able to because they don't have that choice.
Right. They don't have the opportunity because, like you say, moms and dads know best. If their children aren't doing well, they can say, well, here's why. The kid thrives in this sort of an environment, but not this kind. Maybe we can find that in another school. You also have an experience that I've heard you talk about in the past. When you were younger, when you were in high school, about the future of that people face in some of these tougher areas, whether it's Detroit or Chicago or Cleveland, wherever, where they're facing tough odds, and you think you can make a difference in places like that as well.
Exactly. And a lot of people don't understand school choice in that way. So they say this doesn't help the marginalized communities. This doesn't help our communities that need the most help. But that's not true. When I was in high school, we had a swap with an inner city Chicago school. And I was with a girl who was incredibly smart. You could just tell she was a super smart kid. We spent the day at her school. She spent the day at my school. At the end of the day, I asked her something about graduation. And she looked at me and she said, I don't expect to graduate. Well, I was super confused because this is someone, as I said, you could tell she was incredibly intelligent. And she said, almost every single one of my friends that I've grown up with has been shot on the way home from school. On the way home from school, they've been shot. They aren't going to live. I don't anticipate living to graduation. Think about if her parents, who knew she was very intelligent, had the choice to take her to a different school. And a lot of people say, well, these parents can't do that. We haven't even given them the option. That's not fair to assume that these parents will not get involved in their children's lives, because I believe that every parent wants the best for their child, and they will get involved. And we've proven in other states that that is exactly what happens, and it doesn't hurt the public school system.
A dozen people running for governor on the Republican side, I believe, at last count in Michigan. You're the top couple from what I saw come out of Mackinac Island recently. What's it going to take for you to rise to the top? We've got about 30, 40 seconds here. What's it going to take for you to pull this off?
We just have to keep getting out there. We're traveling across the state. We need to continue to have the support of the Michigan people. If you can go to TudorDixon.com, if you can make a donation, that's exactly what we need right now, because we need to get our name out there. And we need people like you, Steve, to continue to have us on your show.
Well, I appreciate you being here. I do. I think it's an important race for everybody. And I think having as many voices as possible is the best. We wish you the best as always. I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tudor Dixon running for governor in the state of Michigan, one of the top two finishers, former Detroit Chief James Craig, and then Tudor in that Mackinac Island straw poll. Is it an indication? It's an indication that you have a race going on, and that we're a long way until August in the primaries, and we'll have as many voices as possible here on this program. Quick break. It's the Steve Gruber Show. I'll be right back. Time to go in the huddle.
1, 2, 3, top flight!
This is former Detroit Lion Rob Rubick with another week of the NFL season, another shot for new customers to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use the code HUGE. That's HUGE, H-U-G-E.
The Lions fell to 0-6 with a very uninspired performance at Ford Field against the Bengals. Offensively, the inability to run the football or throw the football with any consistency was the beginning of the downfall. And defensively, they started out pretty well and were game for most of the first half. But ultimately, the lack of talent on the defensive side of the football, and especially in the secondary, reared its ugly head. If the Lions are going to turn this thing around, they need to look internally at each other, because there's no one on the outside who's coming in to